current events of the year of our Lord 2000. Well, we've come to that place. And, you know, we get 4000 B.C. and 2000 A.D., and that's 6 days for the Lord. The seventh day is the millennium. Of course, our calendar is a little bit off from his, such as a person that worked on it once needed had 11 too many days, so he threw 11 away. And that's why when you see people get all shook up over 7 days, you know, that makes you kind of, yes, this is the day. What? The rascal threw out 11 days, it just won't center anymore, all right? Unless you're going by God's calendar, of course. The solar calendar. I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. As we come to this year of 2000, and you can never go wrong by following your father's instructions. You can certainly go wrong following man. Man will lead you down Primrose Lane, but God's Word never shall. Doesn't hurt to study with man until you see him go contrary to God's Word. That's when you do a little evaluating, a little bit of discerning, all right? So, let's pick up, if we may, with Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and it reads, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide," I repeat, "to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs," I repeat, "signs and for seasons," and this is primarily what they're for, is seasons, "and for days and years." It's for you to account by, to keep up with. And naturally, seasons meaning that the moon itself has a great pull on Earth's gravity, therefore the water level in water in watersheds rises, the same as the ocean does, with tides. And for a person that deals in horticulture, it's important to know those things. Why? Because you want to take every advantage you can to produce good fruit. Now, what does that have to do with the spiritual lesson we're in today? Not one thing. Okay. But the point is, it has more than one purpose. That being my point in passing. But it also is for signs. Okay, verse 15. "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. When he spoke, it happened. All right? "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also," 17, "and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth," 18, "to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." Now, the thing that you must ascertain spiritually is, who is the prince of darkness? Of course, it's Satan. And God oftentimes sets signs, and it has nothing to do with the time of day it is, basically. But the sun is the life giver. Were it not for the sun, you wouldn't have food, because plants must have the solar effect before they can even grow. Not necessarily, okay? Generally, I should say. That's the way it goes. That's the way the cookie crumbles, okay? So, naturally, if you're going to have something that symbolizes Almighty God or His Son, it would be that Son, that life giver, that one that gives us our very life. And, of course, therefore, he calls Satan the prince of darkness in the sense of that is hidden. Always trying to hide something from someone. Now, also, he set them there as signs. And unfortunately, man has tried to set his calendar by the moon. Well, the moon's not accurate. Okay, it just goes its little way. But the solar, that gives light, is the foundation of time. But the moon, inasmuch as it is symbolic of the serpent, the dragon, the devil, all one being, then naturally when a sign happens to the moon, then we have to at least observe, or we're not following God's Word. I do not believe in making a religion out of signs. You can get carried away and corner yourself, you paint yourself back in a corner. God's Scriptures always override man's imagination or mind, or something he may take on as a sign. So anyway, when the winter solstice came into being this past year, the year of our Lord 1999, exactly 10 hours later, the moon went into its full cycle, and it was the closest to the earth since the year of our Lord 1912. Now many people say it's 1866. No, it was closer in 1912. But that's all right. In 1866, which was 133 years ago, 100 testimony, 33 the life of Christ, it came into being that we had a moon for the first time in man's recorded history, or our ability to track satellites, stars, moons, the heavenly bodies. Those three events of the moon being the closest to, as close to the earth as it was, the winter solstice coming into being, and the full moon. All three within a 10-hour frame. Never had happened before. 10 is always an interesting number, in as much as you're going to have 10 days trial, as is written in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. So you can't help but note when you see that number of testimony come forth, in as much as testimony is what God's elect are about when they're delivered up before the spurious Messiah. So is that a sign? Does it happen very often? It's happened quite often, but never, never in as short a period of time as 20. I think in 1912, or was it 1866, it was 20 hours. I guess it was 1866 that it was 20 hours within each other, which, you know, it's a pretty good run for the money. But yet, the very closest it ever was to the earth was 1912. Look what 1912 ushered in. First big war, first world war. Many things happened after that. Well, is that biblical? No, I'm just talking. Just looking at signs of what actually happened that we have before us to ponder, to consider, to think upon, to meditate upon. For if it was given for signs, and we just documented that it was, you don't want to miss one, do you? But yet again, I must caution, don't make a religion out of it, or you'll end up painting yourself again in a corner or behind the old big eight ball. So be careful when you look upon signs. The moon is always utilized in giving prophecies concerning Satan. In other words, Satan's prophecies concerning his stay on earth are given in months. Months is moon. In other words, if you were to turn, don't turn there right now, we will close to it later, in Revelation chapter 13, along about verse 4, we understand that Satan is given 42 months. Now the two witnesses have 1,260 days, which is solar light, and Satan again always in months. Satan is cast from heaven as a polyon and a babdon. How long is his period of time when he's cast from heaven, as it is written in Revelation chapter 9? 5 moons. Not 150 days solar, but 5 moons. So you see, these signs become very important to you. What does that say to you? What? Moons always have, not always, but most always have something to do with prophecy relating to Satan. So if this period was closer than any other time, it could be that naturally the simplest thing to take from it, we must be getting closer to Satan's being cast to this earth. Didn't say when, but at least God warns His elect, whereby they can go on guard and watch. And I don't mean, again, make a religion out of it. But no, it's like God showing a rainbow in the sky. That's a promise that He will never flood the earth again with HO2, water. That Satan's going to flood it with a water of lies, flood of lies. But not with water. And also it's a promise that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Every time you see a rainbow, that's a sign in the heavens to you. God stated it. It is written that you can count on. So, as we look at these signs and we wonder, then Christ had one thing that happened concerning the moon, and it was lunar, of course. And there was diseases, there was devil possession, and there was lunatic. Do you know they're not the same? I said, there are diseases, illnesses. There is devil possession, and there is lunatic. Lunatic does not have a disease, and it's not devil's plural possession. So Christ set forth an example for you, so that when Satan was near or was close, what your power and your authority was, and He guaranteed it, and I promise you, standing before you, it is true, as long as you take the power and as you take the authority in His name, Satan has no power over you, so you don't have anything to worry about him. But it's according to how much of a man or woman or child of God you are as to whether you'll be able to do that or not. If you're not equipped, then I would advise you, you better think about it, meditate on it. So let's go to the example, if we may, of when Christ Himself was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. Matthew chapter 4. Why did Jesus do this? There's no way that Satan could tempt Him. To show you how it's done. I have no intentions of going into the temptation itself, but what did Satan use against Christ to tempt Him? Scripture. Now, how well are you equipped? I was just told all I had to do was believe. Then you're naked of knowledge and wisdom. You're not equipped. So when it comes to dealing with Satan, you'd probably better take a back seat. Christ showed you how to utilize the power and the authority simply in His name. Get behind me, Satan. Now. In His name. But Satan uses the Scripture. He quoted Deuteronomy. He quoted Psalms. Well, he's got it down pat. How pat do you have it? You have the Scriptures down, at least a working knowledge of God's Word? Faith cometh by hearing. Do you know what the word hearing there in the Greek means? Hearing with knowledge and understanding. Not just to hear words. Phone in the Greek, a noise. But to hear the Word with understanding, meaning knowing what God is saying. And what does hearing come by? And I'm quoting from Romans chapter 10, what is it, verse 27? I believe it is. Hearing by the Word of God. Hearing with understanding comes from understanding the Word of God. What comes from all that? Faith. If you're out of faith, your tank is running on empty. You're unarmed. You're not prepared. God can't use you. He can't trust you. Because you're not an armed soldier in God's army without the full armor of God on and in place. And the whole belt itself is the Word of God, and that holds you together or it better. Okay. So, Christ showed us how in Matthew 4 to be tempted of the devil. And then, let's pick it up if we may. He sent the 70 out after the temptation there in chapter 4. And they came back and they said, it is really something. Okay, but anyway, he picks up his followers here at this time in Matthew chapter 4. He sees, let's just pick it up with, verse 18. And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were commercial fishermen. They were reverends? I don't think so. No, they were commercial fishermen, but I'll guarantee you, as was the custom of the time and the family, they could quote probably more scripture than most of your revolving revs could today. Okay. Verse 19, and he said unto them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Now did he say, turn the lights down low and tell everybody to hide their faces and sing some sad little song over like, just as I am. He doesn't want you just as you are. He wants you to shape your act up a little bit, okay? He wants you to repent, to start fresh. He said simply, follow me. Do you know what? They did. All right, let's read it. And they straightway, I mean, that means immediately, they didn't collect their paycheck. They didn't close up their doors. They straightway, immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee. James is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Jacob, supplanter. So that you understand what we're coming together here with. And John, Yahweh's gift, his brother in a ship, with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately, that means instantly, left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Now bear in mind, don't let me lose you here. This is right after he showed us how to handle the Satan. All right? Teaching in their synagogues, he wasn't bashful, he wasn't shy, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. 24. And his fame, his popularity, the fact that he could cut it, the fact that he was the real article, can do, his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases. Now, how sharp are you? I've got some things here for you to separate in your mind. Different diseases. You know what diseases are? Those are things that befall us because we don't follow God's law and we pollute things. So you get sick, or you don't eat God's way and you get sick. That makes your body, in its weak form of the immune system, pick up whatever's around. And torments. What's torments? Have you ever known a tormented person? That's a person that has problems and needs a clear yes or no, yay or nay. Cut it, do it, and stop worrying. Count or lean on me and get it done. All right? And those which were possessed of devils, now mark that type in your mind, for hey, there's not one behind every bush, but if you've ever had any experience in the field of Christianity, you know they're real, all right? And you know what to do about it. and those which were lunatic. I want you to separate possessions from those that are lunatic. The word in the Greek means moonstruck. And those that had the palsy, that means that were paralyzed, and he healed them. Now, we know he could heal them. The point I want you to pick up on is the separation of the infirmities, the weaknesses of man. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, that means a group of 10 cities, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. They followed him everywhere. From everywhere. Why? He was getting it done. He didn't just talk about it, he did it. He was a man of action. Can-do type person, which you can also if you have the faith to know when you claim it and do it, he will perform it. Not you. He will perform it. You show me some man that thinks he can perform something on his own other than what maybe some of us old Marines did up at the frozen over reservoir, and I'll show, hey, we can get it done. But I'm talking about when you start dealing with the supernatural, then you're dealing with something else and you need a little help. So note the difference between someone that is demonic possessed and someone that is lunatic. Now, many would say, well, what is this lunatic business? Well, talk to your local police department. Talk to some nurse. And ask, what happens when we have a full moon? I'm going to tell you what happens when we have a full moon. Those that are possessed go loony. But there is still the lunatic. Those that are wicked and evil, they go bananas. Strange things happen. I mean, the log picks up. Hey, you don't believe me? You know, call some local police station and ask them, are full moons busy? Or, I know I've got a lot of nurses in here and I won't embarrass them, but I guarantee you they'll back me up on the fact that, you know, anytime it's a full moon, get ready. It's going to be a busy shift. Because people, Satan loves it. And he takes advantage of it. And people that are, you can separate those that have faith and those that just claim to. Real quick and real easy. So what did Christ do here? He showed you, set the example of how to handle Satan. How did he do it? Well, Satan quoted Scripture, like I stated, but he twisted it about 90 degrees. I mean, he quoted exact, except he twisted the last word or a middle word or something to give it a different meaning. And Christ slapped the Scripture right back in his face, correcting it. Can you do that? Well, that's the example that he said, that's the way you do it. Can you? I don't know if you can or not. That's your business. Okay. But then he sent out the men to work, and hey, they did great. He said, man, in your name, that's to say Christ's name, even the demons have to obey us. Why? Well, because Christ gave them the authority. He taught them. And they have to obey you today. If you are learned, if you are hearing the Word of God, whereby from that comes faith, whereby you can handle it. Now, how did Satan do this? Tried to get him to put on a sideshow. Just climb, let's just jump off of this building. Now, God always uses common sense when he does something, alright? Now, using common sense, what would it have proved if Jesus had come crashing down off of the tallest building in Jerusalem? I think what it would have proved that he was a little off, God forgive me, but, you know, Christ didn't do dumb things like some people do. If you're not wiser than the serpent, you're a lost soul. I'll tell you that coming out the gate. If you're trying to make a name for yourself, then you're dumber than the servant. Because there's only one name that'll handle him. And you better have the right boots on to cut it, or sandals, shoes, or even barefooted. You know, your mind better be equipped with faith from hearing, with understanding the Word of God, that is to say, His instruction. So, Christ, after He gave them the example of how to defeat Satan, He sent them out, they came back, and then He goes around showing them the next step. He cast out demons, He healed diseases, but He added the lunatic this time. Now, let's go on to about the 17th chapter of this book of Matthew, as Christ gives us our example here. Matthew chapter 17. Let's pick it up with verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, we got a crowd, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. You all know what the word lunar means, right? It means the moon. Okay. Now, you Latin folks, I'm Latin speaking, you sure know what I'm talking about, okay? He's moonstruck, okay? And sore vexed, and for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. In other words, he suffers a bunch. Now, what did it do in the first place that this man... What did it prove that was in this man's soul that he would come to Jesus and ask? He had faith. He was a believer, he wouldn't have asked him, okay? He would have went to a snake doctor. Verse 16, And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Whoa! They couldn't cut it. Well, we know they were already practicing casting out demons in Christ's name. They were healing diseases in Christ's name. But you see, Christ added something there in the last verses of chapter 4. Did you get it? You better have. He added lunar, the moonstruck. I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not, repeat, could not cure him. 17. Then Jesus answered and said, Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. In other words, after sending you out and being successful, I told you of the other type. Verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He didn't say devils here, I'd like for you to note, okay? And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour, instantly. 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. They didn't ask him this publicly. And said, Why could not we cast him out? Why were we failures? Why are we just a bunch of failures? And they didn't want to ask that question publicly. Verse 20, And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. And don't you ever forget that, my friend. Unbelief in what? Well, listen. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith, if you've got what? Faith. As a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, this means nation, any nation, remove hence to yonder place, especially the Kenite nation. You don't have to take anything from it. And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. If you have what? Faith. Oh, what does all that mean? How do you get more faith? I just told you earlier. Where does faith come from? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing. And that word, the English word doesn't cut it. Okay, you can just take that word hearing and just kind of put it on a side stand over here. It means you must hear with understanding, meaning your mind both could hear, see, and understand with clarity. The only way you're going to get faith, friend, is to know the word, to hear it with understanding and clarity. And where does that hearing come from? Where does that understanding and clarity come from? From hearing the word of God. This word that he sent to you, a letter that he wrote to you. He created your soul because he wanted somebody just like you. Why, I have no idea. Be that as it may. I love you, he loves you, and we need them all. We do. And we need all of you, that's for certain. All right? God is able, and he loves his children. But he doesn't want a bunch of slough-offs, all right? He doesn't want a bunch of people that think that there's something special on a stick. And wouldn't any more do it God's way in the first place? They're ignorant of it. They're just stumbling around ready to fall in the fire somewhere. Because it's got to be done God's way. It's written, and that's exactly how it's going down. Where are you going to be? Okay. Do you have the faith to cast out that one particular one? Now let's go a little further. 21. Another lesson. Howbeit, this kind, understand kind, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. What does that mean? Well, prayer and fasting. You would have to know, number one, what the famine was for in the end times. The famine of the end times, as it is written in Amos chapter 8, verse 13, is for hearing, not for bread, but for hearing the word of God. And in fasting, you must fast away from the ways of the world and concentrate, meditate on God's word so that you hear it and it anchors, it connects. And that then strengthens your faith. And when you come to the belief to know Christianity is not a religion, but a reality, and when Satan, the serpent, the dragon, or anyone else comes near you, they know they've got to worry. You talk about fear, they know they've got to be afraid because you're about to take names and kick dragons. And you're equipped to do it. So there is a difference. Well, then what are you saying? I'm saying Satan is the prince of darkness. He is the lunar. And when one is possessed by Satan himself rather than some little old tribe of demon spirits. See, there's no such demons really doesn't fly. It's evil spirits. But when someone is possessed with the evil spirit, that's lunar, that's lunatic, then friend, you better have your sword sharpened. If you're going to take on that baby, or you're going to be just like the disciples, you're going to flunk out. Why? Well, it's this simple. Christ teaches in elongated sense. In other words, you've got to know from A to Z. What did he say? I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning, the end. And you've got to know from the beginning to the end. Meaning, you've got to know the serpent and what his tricks are, what his plans are as it is written into the Word, or how are you going to defeat him? If you don't know what God has already told you, the plan, how ever can you catch up? Else you study. Well, you study, of course. All of you are very familiar with the overall plan of God. You know Mark 13, where you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, that you're not to premeditate what you'll say at that time, but you're to allow God to handle it through the Holy Spirit. All right, that's fine, but you got to make sure you get to that step. And the only way you can get there is being familiar with God's Word. Now, as we look at those signs, and as we look at those seasons, turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 10, while we're right here in the New Testament, and we're going to conclude this. It's not going to be real long. Usually when I say that, I get bogged down. Jesus gives you warning after warning in the gospel. He gives it to you. You know, do you realize you've got people walking this earth today that says there isn't a Satan? Boy, they must be pleasing him well, huh? But it's true. That's from one end of the spectrum to the other. All right. Verse 18 of Luke chapter 10, and it reads, "And he said unto them," I'm sorry, let's pick it up with 17. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, with the devil, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Don't you ever forget that. Your name means beans. Your name doesn't mean anything with the devil. He'll have you for breakfast if you don't have the name of Christ connected with it. Okay? 18. "And he said unto them," this is a warning future, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Means he's coming. 19. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." What are Satan's little ones called? Kenites. And those that are deceived. Scorpions. Okay? Revelation chapter 9, they're called scorpions. And who was Satan? What was Satan's role as serpent? Now think about it. He was called serpent where? In the garden. What was his role in the garden? Seducer. Good that you know that. He went a long ways to teach that lesson. "Tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Now, what part did he leave out? None. If you have the faith. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are many things in this world that can get in your way if you're not smarter than the serpent. I'll guarantee you one thing, it would be impossible for God to take a ministry around the world if somewhere that congregation was not a lot sharper than the serpent. Otherwise, you can keep grabbing his tail and letting him bloody your old head, and who cares? We're moving ahead. We're taking ground. We don't give any. Why? We're sharper than the serpent. Why? God allows us to be with faith. "All the enemy we have power over, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You don't have to sweat it. That's why you never let them see you sweat on your first cruise. Verse 20, "Notwithstanding in this rejoice not." Don't be just happy in that. "But the spirits," that means evil spirits, "are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven," because you overcame. God's got your name in that book of life, and there's a big check mark says they're a soldier ready to battle. Okay. I can count on this one. I can use this one to help people, all people, exactly as I have instructed that they should be helped. That's quite a thing. He said, you've learned your lesson. You know the difference in the serpent, the dragon, the devil, though they're all one and the same. You know how to rightly divide the Word of God to know what role He's playing at what time, so that you know which weapon to have in your holster, spiritually speaking. Okay? You got it? It's important, beloved, to know the difference. That's why you read the Word with understanding. So, He's observed Him fall to the earth. He's coming. There is a lunar cycle. There are signs. Do we read them with understanding? I hope so. I hope we do. Because our Father expects that we should. Now, all the way back to Revelation, real quickly. We're going to Revelation chapter 12. You're familiar with the Revelation 12. It's one of the longest as far as spans of time are concerned. It even goes back to the first earth age, when Satan used the same political party that he's using now to get ahead. And a woman conceived and gave birth to a son. And the devil wanted to destroy that son. And time went on, and then there was war in heaven in verse 7. And Michael, do you know why Jesus saw Satan come to the earth as a lightning? Because he was on the toe of Michael's boot. That's why. Okay. Michael was tired of him and all of his little boys. And he booted them all out, and they are coming. You can count on it. It is written. And the Satan, as you find in verse 8, prevailed not, neither was there place anymore in heaven. I want you to back to verse 7 and note, against the dragon, and the dragon fought and prevailed not. Now verse 9, and the great dragon, do you know who that is? Was cast out. That old serpent, do you know who that is? Can you follow it? It's saying a whole lot. It's a polysyndeme, meaning there's a lot more said than is written. Call it the devil and Satan, meaning it's all one person, one entity, that is to say, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Yeah, they're coming. And that's why Paul would tell a woman she better have the veil of Christ over her head. And a lot of unlearned so-called scholars say a woman should never cut her hair, when hair has nothing to do with the Greek manuscripts. As it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, because of the angel she should keep Christ over her. And it is a sin for a man to have this wrong veil for that protection. Why? Well, it would be a perverted act if a man were to be attracted by one of these male angels. Okay? So therefore it's perverted. But so it is. We've been warned over and over. They are coming. What are you going to do about it? I hope I know what you're going to say. Jesus telling you just a moment, have given you power and authority over not some, but all your enemies. He doesn't leave us naked, friend, if you're man or woman or child enough to cut it, to take the authority, to be a can-do type individual. You don't have to worry. He's the one that accomplishes it. If you have the knowledge, which is to say faith, by hearing, understanding, His plan. Why? Well, if you didn't know God's plan, you might be doing Satan's plan. And boy, Satan would love that, wouldn't he? So you got to keep armed. Okay. Down to verse 12. Speaking back again to that book in Luke, that chapter in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus would say, I beheld Satan fall. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. In other words, we got peace up here. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's that smart. He knows it's 5 months, 5 moons, not 150 days solar, but 5 months, as it's written in Revelation chapter 9, shortened from 3.5 years. 13, and when the dragon, that's a different name, friend, you've got to keep these offices straight. What is the dragon? The dragon is when he appears as the head guru, Antichrist, playing the role of false prophet, okay? Saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Boy, he just can't wait. That virgin has been on his mind ever since. 14, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. She was protected, where she is nourished for a time and a times and a half time. Of course, shortened to 5 months now. That's 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now listen, you must make sure that your character is good enough that it can withstand any test Satan puts against it. Now, you have seen your pastor's character tested by limo bills and inquirers and what have you, and my character withstands real well, thank you very much. Because anytime a lie cannot prevail against truth. So protect yourself. Watch yourself. You're a child of the living God, and what you do is very important. Protect your credibility. Okay? Nobody's perfect. I'm not saying that. But certainly, then, your character. You know, the Christian idiom in the book of Mark, last chapter, is that you can pick up serpents. Well, it doesn't mean a snake, okay? Because rattlesnakes don't read God's word. It means the devil, okay? As the seducer. And the reason I'm using these roles today is so you understand this. That you can pick Satan up and do with whatever you want to with him. He has no power over you. Why? You have the faith to know Christ gave you power over all your enemies. Or you can drink poison. That doesn't mean you can go out here and drink strychnine. I guarantee you it'll kill you if you drink enough of it. It's a Christian idiom that means your character can withstand any acid or poison that's thrown against it. Why? You're smarter than the devil. You're smarter than serpents. The serpent, you know in the first place what they're trying to prove a long time before they get there. And you've moved on to square A, B, rather, when they're still on A. Think ahead of the serpent, all right? That flood cannot carry you away. You have power over it. 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Where does it come from? Out of his pistol, out of his tank, out of his jet? Out of his mouth. You will be lied to, misled, propaganda like you've never heard before. What are you going to stick with? The Word of God, of course, okay? 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that's you, which keep the commandments of God, that's you, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Testimony 10, the true testimony. Now, what really happens in the year 2000? On May the 3rd and the 4th, and it will stretch on through the 5th, you will have a planetary alignment. It's not really all that unusual. It's happened before, but it doesn't happen very often. You have the sun and the moon and five planets all in one line. Now we know that gravity is affected by, the tide is affected by this, that we have sometimes storms and sometimes earthquakes when that happens. The alignment is within about 27 degrees. But that isn't what's real important. And I don't want you to get all shook up about that. It's no big, the sun's right in the middle of them. Okay, so you're not going to see it anyway. All right, a whole lot of it. Some of the planets are hanging, they're creating a marriage feast again, like Saturn, and he's after somebody, I forget who, and whatever, but mark May the 17th. On May the 17th, that same alignment takes place again. Only this time there's only 19 and a half degrees. That's close. But there's something missing in that alignment, the 17th. Do you know what it is? Out of the sun and the moon and the five planets? I'll give you a guess. It's the moon. The moon is gone. Do you know what happens on that very same day, May the 17th? The moon becomes full. And do you know what it enters? Libra. What does Libra mean? Well, Libra in Latin is balance or scales. I'm going to get some balancing out here. Libra is the seventh sign in the zodiac. Do you know what it's between? I said the moon is there and it's full. When this 19 and a half degree alignment takes place, it enters Libra. Libra is the seventh sign of the zodiac. And do you know what it's between? I just hope I can remember. I'd really like to tell you. It is between Virgo. Now let's see, what does Virgo mean? Virgin. That's what it means. It's between the Virgin and, let me see, what is the other? Scorpio. Oh, what is Scorpio? It's Scorpion. We got some interesting signs coming up with the lunar. And the lunatic. Okay, so that, I'm going to tell you what, you can take that information and a $20 bill and get you a cup of coffee most anywhere. Okay? But beloved, it is science, so don't totally discount it, but don't make a religion out of it. But what did Jesus call you? He called you a watchman. I would say only one thing, watchman. You'd better be watching. We've got an interesting year before us. Now, do you know something? May the 17th, that's kind of, May through September is the time of the locust, you know? September. What happens September the 23rd? Well, September the 23rd, the sun enters Libra. That's really something, isn't it? Well, all kinds of things going on. Don't forget, all of that in a $20 bill. But, beloved, pay attention to the Scripture. That we must take very, very serious. These signs are, what is my opinion? I certainly believe he's getting our attention to say you'd better be alert. Are you ready? Have you got caps and have you got blanks in your pistol or the real thing? All right. Well, what kind of preacher are you? What kind of teacher are you? What kind of seed planter are you? You just playing? Because the ride's going to get rough. You better cinch up the saddle. Better get out your best spurs, and you better be ready to ride. We got some interesting times ahead of us. And have you got anything to worry about? No. I give you power over. This is when Satan's on earth, even. He just said he's falling out of there like a streak of lightning. All right? I'm talking in the Greek now, okay? This is hillbilly Greek. And the word is phos, okay, in the Greek tongue. But he's able to, that means he's supernatural. He can even snap his fingers and phos comes from heaven. Hey, if you haven't already been convinced by then, it'll be too late, friend. People will worship him. Whoa. Hey, he's got a bag full of tricks. But you do not have to fear him. So remember those dates. Watch that time. And I think you will find it a very interesting time. So, with that having been said, the year 2000, the stock market is ripping them off. All right. By that I mean it's really rolling. And I'm happy. But be careful. We live in volatile times. Be very careful. Think. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Be wiser than the serpent. That's all that's required. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written word. We thank you for the truth, Father. We thank you for your warnings, and we thank you for giving watchmen that they are to watch. In Yeshua, Jesus' precious name, amen.
Free introductory package.
It will be a